Good to be back. I guess we kind of didn't leave. We left the worship setting, but we're still here. It's always good to be together, and I enjoy the opportunity. There's so many things that can get involved, and you know, I realize that why I get off on the wrong verse a lot of times is because my mind drifts to this or that or the other, you know, and got to thinking about Matt, and then I was on another verse, and I got to thinking. And so, there's a lot of challenges. I'm glad that we have God's Word to keep us on track. I'm glad we have a Savior that knows how life is. And I'm glad that He can, or is that mediator between us and God. And I plead for that mediation. You know, and I think a lot of times, you know, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to think back about what Jesus has done for us on the cross, His body and His blood that He shed. And then I get off a lot of times. It's just so hard for me to keep my mind in focused on that. And, you know, and God at least understands. You know, as I look and study about Jesus and the things that He was known for, as I mentioned this morning, He was a man that went about doing good. And I think about that, and I think, you know, I think it was a lot about His life that drew people to Him. It wasn't just the miracles, but that He was helping people. And I think as we look at what He's told us to do, that we're to be servants. And we manage our affairs, but we have proper management so that we can take care of our own needs and help others. We have guidance for life from the Bible. But then we look at some of the challenges and how hard it is sometimes to give into that guidance. And even as Christians, we find struggles with certain things. Each of us are different, and I'm glad we are. You know, can you imagine if we was all just alike? Be boring, wouldn't it? And then none of us would be able to do what we enjoyed because everybody else would enjoy doing the same thing. It would be no fun at all. But then God does have some guidelines. Even though He understands, God has set down certain things that are set in stone. If you want to go back to the old adage that comes from Moses on the mountain. You see, Moses and God wrote on those tablets. They wrote the words that God wanted preserved. Some things are set in stone. Some things are left up to our judgment. I'm glad that we can do that. We do something different here than most any churches around. It's kind of catching on in Iowa and other places. We have an afternoon worship instead of evening. You know, one thing, you know, there's a reason. I went to a place one time and they didn't have evening worship. And I said, the only congregations that I know that give up on the evening worship are those that are either dead or about to be dead. We need to have that love for the Lord. We want to be there. And there's times that we can't, okay? And that's, we're sick. Shelly has missed so much. And I've learned to know Shelly enough to know that it breaks her heart. She wants to be here. There's jobs sometimes get in the way. I know Billy's job gets in his way part of the time, and he works those shifts that makes it hard. Roy plays that game too once in a while when Grinnell College is flooded and he skips. But you know what? If we as a whole weren't doing it, there would be a problem. We wouldn't be going forward. We'd be going backwards because we didn't care. But you see, there's things that God has set in stone that we might be able to meet at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is kind of nice because it makes it available for more people and it works good for a lot of things. But there's some things we can't change. What we're looking at today is some things that can't be changed. It's things that God has set in stone. And we can't alter them. If we alter some of these things, any of these things, we've got a problem. And so we're going to look at it from that standpoint. We need to understand, guys, that God gave us a word that's understandable. The reason that you hear so many things where people say, oh, you can't understand the Bible anyway, it's probably because they've been told that and they misparrot it, you know. I'm not a parrot. Unless it's what God says. I'll parrot that. But I'm not going to parrot what you say, and I don't want you to parrot what I say. Because many people, they hear this nonsense. And so they pick it up and they go for it, even though that there's not a shred of truth to it. Oftentimes, they come to that idea because they never tried. You know, I've learned to know Brendan. Brenda loves to read and do puzzles. That woman knows so much, and she is as sharp as she can be. But it's because she's exercised her mind. Okay? And so we need to exercise our mind in this because it is understandable. You know, I mean, there's a time or two you called about a puzzle that you couldn't figure out the word to. And so you know it now. Okay, but you had to investigate it. And I think it was a Bible one that was something we had to work on together. But we need to understand, guys, that the Bible is understandable. And if you're not clear on what it says, we need to sit down together and figure it out. And I'm not going to tell you anything. I'll let you tell me. That's how understandable the Bible is. I'm not afraid of somebody coming to me with something that's false. That doesn't bother me a bit. I don't care what it is. Because I can go to the Bible with them and we can look out to find out what's right. I'm not telling you nothing. I'm going to let God do the telling. And then you have to argue with Him. Okay? So I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to look at verses 3 through 5 in that context. Because the Apostle Paul is pointing to a time when there was a great mystery and we didn't know. I mean, we are memorizing Genesis 12 verse 3. Where God said to Abraham that, and in you shall all nations or all families of the earth be blessed. And so, what does that mean? Okay? And so for 2,000 years, people were saying, do what? I don't understand. What does it mean that through Abraham will all nations of the earth be blessed? Well, we understand that now. And so the Apostle Paul is pointing to things like that. And he says in Ephesians 3, verses 3 and following, it says, let me back up to verse 1. Okay, let me get the whole context. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation, watch this, he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And so in other words, when God told Abraham, and you shall all families of the earth be blessed, it was a mystery. It's not a mystery anymore. It's been revealed. And that's the thing, as we look at the things that the Bible tells us, it reveals the things. It tells us everything that we need to know. But we got to have to look, get in there and look. And the problem is when we find out, we're going to have to change. That's the key. And that's the important thing that we've got to come to terms with as we look at that. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And as always, this has got one of those passages that has an amazing gem within it. And the Apostle Paul is talking about the Timothy and about him growing up and hearing and learning about God's Word. And notice in this passage it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to notice a couple little points here. The holy scriptures can make you wise to salvation. So can you become wise to salvation without the scriptures? No. That's the only way you're going to find out where salvation is. That's the only way you're going to find out how do you seek and how do you find salvation and how do you come to that point where you have salvation. And so it's those scriptures, and it is those scriptures that make you wise. Okay? And so the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that he knew them because he grew up studying them. Our young people need to hear. We've got how many generations grown up without God? And we wonder why our society's in such a mess? I don't think we need to be wondering. We've got families that have raised their children for generations that God's not a part of it. In fact, God's principles aren't there. And they're wondering, why is there so much problem? Why are the prisons full? Why are we have so much trouble with drugs and alcohol and immorality in this society? Duh. Why are the kids killing each other in school? Duh. You kicked God out. And when God's not in home, he's going to eventually not be in the school. God's not in home. It doesn't matter what they hear elsewhere. What matters is what they hear at home. And that's why we got to give them God at home. You know, I grew up in a generation where everybody says, oh, I won't make Billy go to little Billy. And no, not picking on you here, Billy, but that's always a term that's used. Okay? I wouldn't make little Billy go to church. But why not? Well, he'll grow up and he won't want to go. Do you make little Billy take a bath? Aren't you afraid he won't take a bath when he gets old? Do you see the ridiculousness of such reasoning? And then when they get old, we wonder, why won't little Billy go to church? He's a big Billy now. Because we told little Billy he didn't have to. And now as Big Billy, he says, why would I have anything to do with that? Either that or we send our kids to church. You know, I see this all the time. And I know good and well that once they get up to making a decision, they're going to decide that church is for kids. And so they're going to find themselves in a mess of a life, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to send them to church to teach them that when they become adults, they don't have to go. Church is just for kids. Those of us that are adults knows that it's for adults and it's for kids, and they need to be there. They need to be involved. Guys, we need to recognize that we've got to lay this foundation when they're young. The Word of God makes us wise unto salvation, and so therefore we really need to put that Word of God on a pedestal because that's where it belongs. Okay, we were joking about giving proper honor a little while ago, and we always are joking about something, and don't let it stop. Okay, we got to have those jokes. It's nice. When you're sick and death of the nasty job, you just joke, okay, and have a good time. But the thing is, we've got to have that. But this is what we need to put on the pedestal. Because that's what will make us wise to salvation. And I tell you what, that's what we're going to look at to find out what it says. And so I want to go to Matthew chapter 22 and look at these Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were a sect of the Jews that a sect means a division. And it's kind of sad that the Jews were divided. They were hopelessly divided. There's no reason for division. God condemns division. And so if we ever have a little conflict between us, we better go to the Bible and find what is right and solve that and not divide over it. There is no room for division. God condemns it, and we will not be allowed to enter into heaven. Can you imagine if heaven was all divided like this old crazy world we live in? That ain't heaven. We're all going to agree with God. And that's the way it is. And so don't allow any division to come. But the Sadducees were one of those divisions in the Jewish world. And they didn't believe that there was going to be a spirit. They believed you like when you're, you know, like Rover. When dead, when he's dead all over. Okay, there ain't nothing left. There ain't no spirit that goes back to God. Grover's just going back to the dirt. Unlike you and me, we have spirit. They didn't believe that. Our spirit goes back to God who gave it. And so that's why we got to make sure that we look at the Word so that we know how to live today, so that when that time comes, we go to live with Him and not Satan. Because that's not going to be good. So Matthew 22, verses 31 and 32, it says, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Jesus is saying, didn't you look at the Bible? And the Sadducees are saying, okay, God, it wasn't plain. Okay, it wasn't clear. No, I'm going to tell you something. The tense of the verb makes it as clear as you want to accept. See, the problem was their heart. Okay? They didn't want to look at the Word. That's why when I study the Bible with people, I just like to let's read it and see what it says. Let's see what the Word says. Because it's God's Word, it's not mine. Okay? And when we just look at the words, guess what? We always agree. If we allow the words to stand. Problem is, me and you are sometimes stubborn. And we don't like the words that God put. And that's not God's problem. That's us. God said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He can exalt you in due time." No humble, no exalt. And so we need to make sure that we do not become like the Sadducees, but let's look for those things that the Bible says, and let's stand on them. So let's look and see what... So let's say we want to find salvation and we don't know. All right. Now, I know I cover those passages quite often, but I think it's very important. Okay. Salvation is a grossly distorted concept in the religious world. There's a different plan of salvation for just about every religious group going. It's some little slant, some little twist. It's pretty much come commonplace that you just accept the Lord Jesus, even though their framework will say a little bit different wording. Guys, I don't care what some religious group says. If you want to know what they say, just go to the internet and read ex-religious group and plan of salvation. Punch it into Google. And it will tell you what they believe. And I don't care what different people believe. I care what God says. And so as we study this subject, I'm not trying to make light of anybody. I'm not trying to put anybody down. I just want to know what God says. Okay? Jesus said, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So we're looking at what's going to judge you and me on the last day. And so as we look at these scriptures, let's go to the Hebrews chapter 5, 11 and verse 6. And a lot of times, and I think this is a problem as we go over these things, it's easy to hurry over them and to not take the time to look at them. And we won't be able to look at them a lot today, but we'll look at each of them a little bit more in depth than we normally would, especially if I was just giving an invitation at the end of a lesson. But Hebrews 11, 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." If you don't have faith, there's no way you can please God. It's not going to happen. I want to notice a couple things about this, though. Let's notice the, I don't know if two dots is a colon or a semicolon. I never could remember that, but it's one or the other. And the two dots means there's an explanation that follows. That much I remember. It says, "For he that comes to God must..." Oh, did you catch that four-letter word? Okay. "Must believe that he is." In other words, believe that he's God. "The God of heaven." Guys, there's only one. Allah is not God. He's a different God. He promotes killing anybody that doesn't agree with you. He promotes the abuse of women. He promotes beheading of somebody that disagrees with you. That is not the God of heaven. I will do everything I can to help them obey the gospel and learn about the God of heaven. We must have a God, a faith that He is God. Not only that, but we must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, if we really believe that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be diligently seeking Him. And if we're not diligently seeking Him, you know what that means? It's impossible for us to be saved. Because we may say that we believe it, but if we're not doing it, do we really believe it? I think it's pretty plain. Just look at the Sadducee thing. I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were still alive. And if it's impossible to be saved without faith, and faith means that we're a belief that He has a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, if we have that faith, we're going to be diligently seeking Him. That means we're going to be finding out, what does God say? What does He want us to do? And we're going to do our best to live it. Guys, we need to recognize what God says about faith. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Got to start kicking in high gear here before long. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. Guys, can we do without faith? I think it's very clear. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that God allows us to be able to be justified or saved in any way, shape, or form without faith. Is that all? The religious world wants me to believe that that's it. I hear it over and over, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody because I love everybody. I don't want anybody to be misunderstanding. Now, I'm going to try to be very careful how I tell people that don't understand and know that, because they believe that very sincerely. But I'm told over and over that all you got to do is have faith. You know, faith only. And so as we look at that, I can't really spend a lot of time in that, but let's notice first, well, how is it that we get faith? And so Romans 10:17, and we all know that verse, and we know it by heart. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so in order for me to have faith, which saves me, it's not just enough to have faith. I got to study the Bible to get it. And that's why I think it's, you know, this chronological reading, I mean, it's going to create a lot of discussion and bring a lot of information and wisdom to our heads as we go through this year, and a little more understanding of how God's words all put together. And so, but the thing is, we need to understand that if we don't get into it, we're fooling ourselves if we think we're saved. Because you're not going to have faith. Now, that's what God says. You won't have faith if you don't get it by studying the Bible. I think it's pretty important. Okay? And so, therefore, I want to keep studying it. Make sure I didn't miss something. What happens if I miss something? Okay? You know, we have a lot of fun discussions, and I love it. I love the challenges to the things that I believe, and because it causes me to go back and reevaluate. Did I miss it? Because if I missed it, I need to know. Okay? Those discussions are good. Now, you know, back in the 40s and 50s, we could discuss and still be friends. You can't hardly do that in this day and age. But I'm glad that we can hear. Okay, and I think that's good. That's of great value. Don't ever let it change. But guys, if you want to have faith, you're going to have to go to the Bible to get it. But I want to notice something about faith, and this is found in James. And so, you know, this thing about faith and faith only is something that has been so majorly taught in the religious world. And I can go to the passages where it comes from, and we will do that in time, but today it's not what we're here for. But I want us to notice something, that this passage will help us to understand that if your faith is not mixed with your actions, it's not faith. Okay? Watch this. In James 2:17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So you think a dead faith is going to get you to heaven? There's no way. Hey, look, put your actions where your mouth is. Live the gospel. Okay? And if you're not living it, repent. Change your ways, because it's impossible, because you really don't have the faith. Is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him? Let me tell you something. If your life isn't what it should be, you don't have faith, and you won't be saved. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, I think that's very clear. Okay? So we need to put our actions where our mouth is, and we need to make sure that we live for the Lord. Now, the thing is, and I make this point, and so often as we study the Bible, it gets in our face. You know, you see that deer in the headlight, you know, the deer in the headlight look? Yep. You know, and so I've seen that so many times. I studied with a family one time, and she said, "Well, our preacher told us this." I said, "Oh, really?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Where'd he go in the Bible to show you that?" And she remembered, which I was kind of amazed. But she didn't know what it was. She told me the verse. And so we looked it up, and we went there, and she read the verse. I said, "Now, go back and read the context." She went back and read to the context, and she said, "It ain't even talking about that." I said, "No, it's not." It was kind of nice, because she was wise enough to change. You know, I hope that we're like the deer that's smart enough to get out of the way of the car. For your car and the deer as well. But the deer that just stands there and looks and doesn't make any changes is liable to get run over. And when it comes to repentance, we need to see and we need to change. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, a passage that it kind of helps us to understand what really forgiveness actually, repentance actually is. Because it points out in this passage that repentance is actually a change. It says in Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Now, to convert, we think of those transformers, okay? They're a nice, neat little car, and all of a sudden you unfold them, they become a monster. So it converted, it changed, okay? And so we are to be transformed people. We're changed people. But the idea of the repentance is that we've converted from one way to another way. Now, the way that we're to revert to or to change to is the way that God says. So here we are, we're reading along in the Bible, and we find out that we're doing something that God says we shouldn't be doing. Or maybe we're leaving something off that, you know, God said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, here we just thought we would just stick in our own corner, stuck our head in the sand. We wasn't going to do any good to anybody. We just thought we was going to be happy. Went to church and thought everything's great. Sorry. Bible says repent, change your ways. Do good. Be kind. Be loving. Repent, it says. Repent and be converted. But now let's read the rest of it. It says, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Now, so let me ask you this question. Did you see what it says? Repent and be converted so that your sins can be blotted out. I don't understand how we can say that all you need to do is believe to be saved. Because this passage says that in order to be saved, now, what is it that causes you to be lost? It's your sin. And so what do you have to take care of to be saved? Your sin. But this is saying that I'm going to have to repent to have my sins blotted out. So either God lying, or maybe if we believe that all we need is faith, we're kind of mixed up. Honestly confused. Sincerely going down the wrong path. One of the things that we will see as we study is that you're not going to find everything you need in one place in the Bible. There's more than one paragraph in the Bible. And the New Testament is a whole. It's a message from God. The whole thing is one message. And you're going to have to put that message together to find out what God says. And I think this verse, it just so shouts that out. It screams it out. Okay? Faith alone will not work. And please do not misunderstand me. I would never put people down that believe that. I believe they've just listened to some preacher and they believed him. You know? Please don't believe me. You believe what the Bible says. Isn't that what Jesus said with the Sadducees? He said, have you not read what it says? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus said, don't listen to me, listen to God. Repentance. If you don't repent, you're going to be guilty of your sins. That means you got to have faith too, right? We recognize that. We'll continue on in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. This is a passage that it shows the positive and the negative in the same place. And Jesus was in the process of sending his apostles out to teach everywhere. And in verses 32, he says, whosoever therefore shall confess my name, confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So let me ask you a question. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name done many wonderful works, and thy name cast out demons. But I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Remember that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23? I want Christ to confess me before God. According to Him, according to Jesus Christ, what am I going to have to do for Him to confess me before God? I must confess Him before men. I don't have a choice. So does that mean that, okay, you really don't need to repent? No, because this is in the Bible too, right? So it's true. It's in the New Testament. So it's true. So well then, okay, well, yeah, okay, maybe I have to repent, but I don't really have to have faith, right? That's in the Bible. Okay? I have to have faith. I have to get it by studying the Bible. And when I read it and I find out I'm wrong, I got to change. I got to repent. But guys, I also got to confess that Christ is the Son of God, and I got to do it before others. If I'm ashamed to talk to you about Jesus, or let's say somebody out in the community, guess what? On the day of judgment, Jesus say, who's he? He wouldn't tell nobody about me. He wouldn't even act like a Christian around those ungodly people. He acted like the rest of them. We're supposed to be different from the world. We are peculiar people. We're set apart. We have different actions. We have actions that Christ would be proud of. We need to make sure that we work at having those actions and do the things that are right. And all of that is part of confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, that thing with in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, is reporting to that one time point at which before we're baptized. In Acts chapter 8, I'm not going to deal with that today, but we'll look at it another time. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe him in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice that unto. That word unto means toward salvation. Now, in Acts chapter 8, the eunuch wanted to be baptized, and he said, what's stopping me? He said, you must believe with all your heart. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He confessed him with the mouth. And that's what this verse is talking about. So does that mean if I got to confess him with the mouth, that means I don't have to repent? Now, come on. We know that. You know, I sat down with a very good friend. He was a preacher in a group of people that believed that all you had to do is believe on Jesus. And I loved him. Good man. And he told me, he said, Fred, he said, we were discussing the subject of salvation. And he said, Fred, I just wanted to go to one place in the Bible that just told me everything I need. I said, really?
Yeah.
He said, so I went to Romans chapter 10. And so I said, yeah, let's go look at it. So we went and looked at it. He told me all about it. And I said, let me ask you a question. He said, what? I said, does somebody need to repent to go to heaven? He said, oh, yeah, I believe that 100%. Did you find that in Romans chapter 10? Deer in the headlights. He said, no, I don't. Enough said. I let it lie. I'm not trying to rub people's face in their misunderstanding. The last thing you want to do is do that to somebody that misunderstands the Bible. Give them an opportunity to let it sink in. They're not bad people. They're not bad people. They're wonderful people that have been misled for whatever reason. And if you and I don't love them like we should, who's gonna? And if we don't love them like we should, we're gonna have to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. So think about that. We've got to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Baptism. And one of the things that, one of the reasons that I don't like study Bibles and is because they always explain these passages away on salvation. The Bible program that I use, they had in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it has the Greek lexicon for each word. And so because the people that put the program together didn't like it, they put their own subnote under what the Greek authority had to say. And I'm thinking, how ridiculous. But at any rate, so be it. But I don't like study Bibles for that reason. So if you have a study Bible, I think it's great. But pay no attention to the things that have to do with the plan of salvation and worship, because it'll run you in the wrong direction. Use the text. And let the other let the trash go. But in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, very simply, the Ananias told Saul, after he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, he said, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And my good friends that believe that all you need to do is faith say baptism has nothing to do with salvation. I love them. Please don't misunderstand. I don't like this kind of a lesson, but I think we can deal with that here in this setting. There's a lot of settings. I wouldn't want to teach it quite as plain as I am now. I think we understand that we have a great love for everybody, whether they understand properly or not. What we're trying to do is look at what the Bible says. Okay? We're going to be judged by these words. On the day of the judgment, the Lord is going to hold this up against you in your life. He's going to hold it up against me in my life. And it says, is that you? And if it says, no, and not me, well, I don't know you. There's nothing worth losing your soul. Okay? Jesus says through Saul, through Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. He didn't say, have your sins washed away and get up and go ahead and be baptized. Jesus said to the Sadducees, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. What is it we don't understand about that? Well, the only reason an individual would understand that is because they don't want to understand that. Now, I'm not judging their sincerity, because I believe that they are very sincere. How they got the information, I don't know. Have they looked to see if it really matters? I don't know. But I know that's what God says. That's what He says. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm just going to look at 21, because we're running out of time. I knew I had to get through half of this morning. Notice what it says. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. According to God, what saves us? Baptism. That's God speaking. And so, if I stood here and told you all you need to do is have faith to be saved, I just called God a liar. Because that's not what God says. I've had preachers say, you the people who say baptism saves you. That's crazy. So yeah, we are those people. And then I showed it to them in the Bible. And they changed the subject. That tells me they don't have an honest heart, but I'm not going to judge your heart. God says that baptism saves us. Now, if God says that baptism saves us, I have to be baptized. That's just the way it is. I can't change that. I could argue with God till the cows come home. My cows ain't never coming home because I don't intend to ever have another cow. Guys, that's what it says. Now, does that mean I don't need to confess? No. It doesn't mean I don't need to confess. Does that mean I don't need to repent? No. That's also required. I don't need to believe. No. That's also required. You can't take any of them away because they're all expected by God. Now, let's notice here that some of these are even grouped together. In fact, you'll find them all grouped together. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. We looked at that, but I'll read it again real quick. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You notice that God didn't single out belief. Faith only. All you have to do is believe on Jesus and you'll be saved. No, it's not what he said. Not what he said. They're grouped together. Let's go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Jesus speaking straight from his mouth. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What does Jesus group with faith there? He didn't say faith only. He who has faith only. He said, he that believes and is baptized. Is that Jesus' words? Am I saying something that Jesus didn't say? I'm not. And so, if I tell somebody that I can be saved without baptism, what have I done? I've lied to them. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. It's not loving to not tell somebody when they're about to fall over a cliff. Now, we've got to be very, 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 very careful how we tell people something that is different from what they've always believed. I think that we need to wait and patiently try to find a way to say it in such a way that they can see it for themselves. But if we don't work at trying, we either don't believe it and we'll be judged for that on the day of judgment, or we don't care and I'm afraid we'll be judged for that too. You see what I'm saying? You see, Jesus groups them together. He puts them both together and it says that's the way it is. Now, and the thing is, it goes even further than in that. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it tells us a little bit more about this thing of baptism, but it also groups in it with repentance. And so this will link all of these things together that we've discussed. And so in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, these people were upset. What are we going to do? We've sinned. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. You mean you got to do both? Well, according to God, you do have to do both. And so I can't just tell somebody that, you know, that all they have to do is do one and do the other and later, but you're already saved, right? That's not what Peter says. And Peter is unlocking the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus promised him that in Matthew chapter 16. And he's unlocking. He's got the key. He's letting us in. And so he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You mean I can't be baptized in the name of Allah? That's not the name of Jesus Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, no other name worth. You can't do it in Fred's name? Huh. My name ain't getting you nowhere. It won't even do you any good at Fairway. But he still had to pay his bill last night. It's a wonder they didn't charge him double when he mentioned my name. You got to be baptized. You have to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But notice what it also says. Why? For the remission of sin. So what if I'm baptized for some other reason? I didn't follow what God said. You know, what if here, if I believe, okay, well, I said I believe in Jesus and I'm saved. I've got it all together. Say, okay, well, we're, you know, in a few months we'll have a lot of people that want to do that. We're going to have a big baptism. You know, you don't have to worry about then. We'll do it all then. And so you get baptized in a few months. So did it do you any good? You didn't do what it said. You didn't get baptized to have your sins washed away because you believed they were already washed away. Guys, that's just the Bible. I don't make apologies for it. I try to be very kind in my teaching of it because I know that it's not accepted. Go to the Google and search what different churches teach. Find out their doctrine. And they'll say, baptism? You're stupid. What's wrong with you? We all know and understand you don't need that. But God didn't get the memo. God says it's important. God says the reason you do it's important.
I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16 and share you a very disturbing passage. It's disturbing to me and I think to an awful lot of people. The Apostle Paul was hounded by the Jews and they did everything they could to stop him from preaching the gospel. They stoned him. They hounded him from one place to another. They tried to have him thrown into prison. They tried to have him killed. They did everything they could. And speaking about that, he makes this statement in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 2, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. You know what that tells us? If the Jews didn't hear the message and repent and be baptized, they were not going to be saved. Ignorance is no excuse. Oh, just leave them alone. They'll be okay just like they are. That's not what God says. Ignorance doesn't work. It doesn't work. Oh, God, I didn't know Jesus. And Jesus said, well, it doesn't look like you. The importance of the steps leading up to salvation. Until one is baptized in water for the remission of their sins, based on their confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as a result of their turning from their sins to live for God, based on the faith that they learn from God's word, there's no salvation. Either that or God lied. Because that's what the Bible says. You know, and I only looked at a couple verses, You know one another 100? They're easy to find. I don't have time. I'm already over time. Guys, I plead with you. Just honestly look at these things. And then honestly look at your life. You know, I know people that looked at these things. I remember Kenneth said, I just did it because my mom wanted me to. Well, there's no repentance and no faith involved in that. Kenneth said, I need to do it right. I remember that day. You have to look at yourself. Because it all boils down to this. On the day of judgment, Jesus is going to look at you and your life and your actions. And they're going to be either a reflection of the Bible or they're not. Are you seeking or drifting? It's your choice. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation, do it now while we stand and sing.